You can be seated. Man, it's great to see you here today. The Memorial Day crowd. If that doesn't offend you, I hope that doesn't offend you. I'm so glad that you're here. I didn't know how many of us would be here. I thought it might be a small group Bible study. Everybody would be at the lake. I'm delighted that you're here. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. I'm going to call an audible right now. For the guys in the back, I didn't give you Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 16-ish or something like that. If you don't mind putting that on the screen, we'll talk about that just a little bit, because that's where we were last week. We talked about prayer last week and what Jesus had to say about prayer, because there was a time where Jesus was with his disciples and he went off to pray. And when he came back, his disciples said, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" Which was kind of an interesting thing for them to say, because they were Jewish. They had grown up praying. They had grown up hearing their father pray. They had grown up hearing the priests and religious teachers pray. And yet there was something about the way that Jesus prayed that made them think, maybe we're not doing this exactly right. And so they asked Jesus if he would teach them to pray. And so Jesus began to teach them. And he said, first of all, let's talk about what we shouldn't do, okay? And one of the things we shouldn't do is don't be like certain people, certain religious teachers who like to stand on street corners and pray out loud for everybody to see them. And really, we don't see that a lot here, and there's not a lot of us doing that. But what he's saying true is don't try to don't try to put your spirituality out there for other people to see you, because Jesus said when you do that, that's your reward. Now, he's not saying don't let people know that you're a Christian. What he's saying is don't project yourself as spiritual. Don't try to be spiritual. Don't try to proclaim your spirituality publicly so that people would notice you. That's what he's talking about. Now, that's certainly something I've been guilty of plenty of times. I don't know about you, but when I've been around people that I felt like, you know, were holy, that were spiritual people, that I felt like were mature, that I had a lot of respect for, you know, I try to, you know, I try to talk my best talk, and I try to, like, get myself together. I'll never forget sitting down with someone who I really respected, and we're having dinner with him and several of my friends, and he was just kind of asking us about our lives and how are you doing and how are you doing. He asked me, he said, "What's going on with you?" And so I'll just try to put together as many religious jargon things and maybe even make up some stuff about how I was doing and what things were going like. And I just kind of said, "Does that make sense?" And he just looked at me and went, "No." And so I just felt about that big, because I'm trying to be spiritual. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but that happens to me. It happens to me not just when I was in my 20s, but it still happens to me now, you know. And Jesus is saying, listen, don't try to project your spirituality. And you know, don't feel like that. You've got to feel like that you're more spiritual. Because what Jesus is saying is this is about a relationship with God. And when you're in a relationship with God, out of the overflow of your life, this authentic, genuine relationship with Jesus will come out. And so you don't have to try to be intense or pensive, or you don't have to try to be loud, or you don't have to try to be whatever it is that you feel like makes a spiritual whatever. Just have a relationship with me. And so Jesus said, so instead of doing that, go into your closet and shut the door and pray to God who's unseen, and the God who's unseen will reward you. And then he says, listen, and don't be like the pagans, because they think that God's going to hear them because they pray with a lot of words, you know. And what he's saying is there are people who think that because they babble a lot, because they say a lot, because they've got a certain formula, because they can almost bend God to their will. You know, I can convince God to do this thing. And he's saying, don't be like them who just kind of fill up the air with words. But he says, instead, your Father who is unseen, the Father that loves you. He says this. Let me make sure that I get this right. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Isn't that amazing? Now, some of us would kind of look at that with a sideways and go, well, why should we even pray? You know, I mean, if God already knows what we need before we even ask Him, and He says God's going to reward you, and the amazing thing is that the way that we see reward a lot of times is when we think about prayer, we think reward's going to be the thing that I ask for, right? You know, I'm asking God for stuff, and the reward is that He's going to give me what I ask for. And that's really not the reward at all. What we talked about last week, and we'll talk even more about this week, is that the reward is you get God. The reward is you get a relationship with God. The reward is that you come out on the other end and you have a relationship with your Father that's deeper and more intimate and more personal and more real and more authentic and unlike any human relationship that you've ever had. That's the reward, not the getting the stuff that I've been on my list that I don't even take time to say anything else. I just come to Him and start asking Him for stuff. That's not the reward. Jesus says, you're going to get your reward. And so Jesus says this. So, when you pray, pray like this. And He says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We talked about that. He says, the first thing you need to do is just pause. Before you jump into asking, just declare God's goodness. Declare His greatness. Think about who He is. I mean, today you could declare that He's strong. Tomorrow that you could declare that He's faithful. You know? The next day you can just praise Him for the fact that He's patient. The next day you can praise Him for what He's done for you. You can praise Him for your spouse. Or the next day you can praise Him for your kids. And the next day you can praise Him. You could just... The fact that because God is limitless, there is no limit to what we can praise Him for. And so Jesus says, when you start out, just start out and pause and praise Him. And the second thing He says is, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the second thing He says is, you know what? You've got a will, I've got a will. You've got a kingdom, I've got a kingdom. But let's put God's will and God's kingdom first. So before we ever ask Him for stuff, you know, before the things that we want so bad that we're convinced that it's what God wants for us, and it's school or it's job or it's raise or it's dating relationship or it's marriage or it's children or it's whatever it is, the thing that's so deep down in your heart that you feel like you want so bad, could you first please just praise God and then say, but God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, I just want to say right now, before I ever get into praying and asking for things, I want to say up front that wherever my heart is, I only see things from a limited perspective, and You see everything, and I want what You want more than I want what I want. And maybe there's something I want so bad that I can't say that. I can't say that with honesty. I can't say, I want what You want more than I want what I want. Because if I'm really honest, God, right now, I want what I want more than I want what You want. So my prayer, God, is help me to want what You want more than I want what I want. Because I want this really bad. And so Jesus says this, it'll be so good for you. You know, even the thing that you're convinced of that you need, just pause and praise Him. And just wait and surrender to His will. And then ask. And then He says this. Ask Him for this. Would You give us this day our daily bread? Would You give us everything we need for today? God, there's going to be some times today where I'm going to need patience. There's going to be some times today where I need wisdom. God, we've got a gap in our checkbook. We need, God, we trust You to fill that. God, there's a need. There's a need in my child's life. There's a need with a sickness. God, would You just give us our day, our daily bread? Would You provide for us? A second thing I want to ask for, God, is would You forgive me of my sins as I forgive other people who've sinned against me? And man, You may just camp out there and don't go any further because you begin to think about, God, this, I want You to change this part of me. I want this part of me to just, at some point, God, I don't even want this to be a part. I hate this part of who I am, of the way I think and the way I talk and the way I act. God, would You change this in me? Would You make me this kind of person instead of that kind of person? And while I'm at it and asking You forgiveness, would You help me to forgive these people? God, I forgive them. Is there anybody in my heart? Is there anybody in my life that I haven't forgiven? And Jesus is saying, this is what's changing you. This is what prayer is about. Prayer is being invited into God's space. It's being invited into relationship with Him. And Jesus says, and while you're asking, just say this. And God, would You just deliver me from temptation? Would You just deliver me from evil and from the evil one? And so Jesus says, listen. It is good to ask God for things. And there may be 100 more things that you want to bring before God, but here's a good way to pray. And listen, he's not giving that to us as a formula. He's not giving us that to us as just kind of rote words. And he's saying, memorize this and say these words and magic things will happen. You know, all the great things that you want will happen. What he's saying is this: when you use this guide as a journey for prayer, God, I declare your goodness. I surrender to your will. And then I will ask you for these things. I will ask you for provision. I'll ask you to pardon my sins, God. I will ask you to protect me. And all the other things that I want to ask for. But when you do that, Jesus says, the reward comes in a relationship with God, who really desires to be with you. Now, I want to use that as kind of our launching pad for today. And I just want to expound on that a little bit, because here's the thing sometimes when it comes to prayer is that we can feel like that it has to be a process. It becomes very technical, you know. I just want to talk in broad strokes. We talked very specifically last week, and I want to talk in some broad strokes today about relationship with God through prayer, about communication with God. And then I want to talk about a few things that kind of get in the way, some hurdles that keep us from having this relationship of communication with God, okay? One of the things that happens is that we begin to see this as very mechanical. And there's a lot of guilt sometimes. You may already be feeling guilty this morning. You know, last week, if you were here, you could have been feeling guilty about the fact that, you know, I don't pray at all, you know, or I don't feel like I pray enough. Listen, my intent is not to make you feel guilty. I mean, this is terrible. Guilt's a terrible motivator, you know. I mean, it's God's kindness that leads us to change. All right. So as we talk about it this morning, I want you to hear that. I want you to hope that you'll hear this with an open heart. Now, one of the amazing things, the scripture that I read, if you were in here at the very beginning of the service, I read a scripture that David says, and we'll look at that scripture first, Psalm 8, 3 and 4. David says this: when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? I'm going to be giving you a lot of scriptures this morning, so if you've got something to take notes with in your phone, in your notes, or in your handout, there's a place to take sermon notes or some scriptures. You may want to look at them later this week. This is an awesome one, because can you imagine David is a young David, and he's out in the field, and he's looking up at the stars, and our understanding of what the universe is even more than David's understanding of what the universe was. Not necessarily our understanding of God, but our understanding of physical matter and the galaxy and what's out there. But David's laying there and he's seeing stars and he's seeing moon and he knows what the sun's about. And he's thinking, God, from what I know, you are incredibly huge. And from what I know, there wasn't a beginning for you and there's not an end for you. And you created all people of all languages all around the world from the beginning of time. And you created all this. And it just impacts him that you're mindful of me. Now, isn't that amazing, David says? That you would, of all the people, of all the people on earth from all times and all the things you've created and all the things that are important to you, me, tiny, little, infinitesimal me, you know everything about me. You know every angle of every worry, of every detail of my life. You're mindful of me. And he says, that blows me away. And the encouragement for you and I, as we think about this relationship, is this, is that he knows you. And he loves you, and he wants relationship with you. And probably one of the biggest things that keeps most of us from praying is feeling like that we're just not worthy. I'm not going to pray today because I haven't prayed enough in the past. And I feel like I've got to pray in order for me to pray. Does that make sense? What? I mean, you know, it's like, okay, crazy. We do these things in our heads, you know? So we feel like that we're not in the right place. Listen, he always wants to hear from you. You don't have to be in a special room or a special service or say special words or be with special people. He always wants to hear from you. Our oldest son is away for the summer. He is chosen to work at a camp, and he's in Vancouver, which is the place that he is about maybe 3 hours north of Seattle, and it's a Young Life camp. It's on an island. You literally have to take a boat to get to it, and so he's there from mid-May to mid-August. And so This is the longest time that he's ever been away from us, which is new for us, you know. I mean, because he lives in town and goes to school in town, we've never done that thing where we had to, you know, kiss him goodbye and say goodbye because he's going to school maybe 3 or 4 hours away and we're not going to see him for a couple of months. We've never had to do that. We had to do that a couple of weeks ago in the Nashville airport. And I thought, you know, we'd say goodbye, but I'm telling you, the emotion of that really crept up on both of us more than we thought it would. And so he's gone for 3 months, and in that, and while he's there, there's no FaceTime that's going on. There's no AT&T coverage. There is one satellite phone that can be used in emergencies, so we're not really going to hear his voice all summer, but we can instant message him through texting with our iPhones. And sometimes he doesn't get them for several days, and they all just kind of pile up, you know? When we get a text from him, when it's any of us, when it's me or my wife or my middle son or my youngest son, Cooper or Brody, we all share it with each other. I mean, it's like the president just called, you know? It's like somebody famous just invited us to dinner. We're just so excited. I mean, life kind of stops in our house. I just got a text from Nate. Everybody, what did he say? You know why? Because I always want to hear from him. There is never a time I don't want to hear from him. And on his worst days, I want to hear from him even more. And the same thing is true for our Father with us. And yet there are things, and the enemy is going to do his best to snatch this communication away from us. He's going to tell you, you know, you're just not good enough, and God's just, he's got, you know, he's got this blackboard of all your good things and all your bad things, and your bad things are more, and so he's just not going to listen to you today, or he's going to listen to you, and he's just kind of shaking his head back and forth because he's not pleased with you today. Listen, that's just all messed up in our head. That's just the way we think. That's the way we treat other people. That's the way other people treat us. That's not the way God acts. So let's look more what it says right here about prayer. I want you to hear about this relationship. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Listen, the Bible is jammed full. I'm going to give you maybe 10 scriptures this morning. I could throw those 10 away and give you 10 more and put those away and give you 10 more and put those away and give you 10 more, because every book in the whole Bible is stocked full of God wanting this relationship with you and I. Do you see that? The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Now, for most of us, the thing that keeps us from this relationship, because we feel like that we're not worthy, we feel like we're not in a good place, we feel like I got to get in a good place before I can talk to God, I feel like I got to do enough good stuff. We would use that verse and go, well, you see, Scott, see, I'm not righteous. The last thing I think about myself is righteous. The righteous cry out and God hears them. I'm not righteous. But here's what you need to hear. It's not about your righteousness. It's not about my righteousness. It's not about me having right standing before God. Listen, I will never, in and of myself, have right standing before God. There'll never be enough good stuff about Scott Sparks that will earn a minute of God's time. There's never going to be enough stuff that I can do that would put me in a right stand. And the minute that I think that I've done enough good stuff to put me in a right standing, then pride has overtaken my life. What makes you right? What puts you in right standing? It's the fact that you've said, if you've said yes to Jesus, when you said yes to Jesus, because He erased your transgressions, because He took away your sin, He gave you His righteousness. When you said yes to Jesus, when you surrendered your life to God, and the Holy Spirit came to reside in your life, you took on the righteousness of Christ. You are in right standing because of what Jesus did. And when God looks at you, He sees someone forgiven. He sees someone holy. Now, if I gave you 1,000 terms, you'd put righteous as number 999 that describes yourself for many of you. And holy would be number 1,000. But the reality is you are. Jesus has made you righteous. Jesus has made you holy. And when God sees you, He sees my child. He sees someone I long to be with. So the challenge for me and you is that when we approach Him, when we're with Him, is to see us the way He sees us. That He loves us and wants to be with us and pursues us. and knows everything about us. And we're going to get to that here in just a minute. Psalm 18:6 says this: "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." He heard me. He heard me, David said. Jeremiah 29:12. "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." I will listen to you. That's what Jeremiah is saying. And Jeremiah is saying, listen, what happened before that, Jeremiah is saying, he's proclaiming to the children of Israel, listen, because you've been disobedient, God's going to put you into exile, and he's going to make you slaves. And through that process, he's going to humble you. And then you're going to cry out to him. And then he's going to hear you. That's what he's saying. But you know what? For us, Jesus took on all of our sin. He took on all of our punishment. He's already declared us righteous, and God hears us because of that. Jeremiah 33:3 says this: "Call to me, and I will answer you." Listen, these are just promises, you know, when you doubt yourself. "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." Do you believe that? And he can tell you great and unsearchable things. That God can whisper to you things that will blow your mind about who he wants you to be, about who he is, about what he wants to do in your life. That he can do that. And that comes through this part of prayer, this communication with God. And if I've not, I probably haven't said this enough as we've talked about this, because we've talked about our talking to God. A huge part of this process is listening. That we're speaking and we're listening. And we're speaking and we're listening. And you may spend more time listening than you do speaking. Because, see, God wants to speak to you. And if you have a relationship with him, God can speak to you. Now, you may get a little freaked out when you hear somebody say, "God told me," or "God led me," or "God guided me." And maybe that's because if you're a believer, that's not been your experience, because you need to listen. Because I can guarantee you, listen, if you listen to him, he's going to speak to you. There are certain things, if you ask God, he's going to show you. "God, is there anybody I need to forgive?" God's going to speak to you. "God, is there anything in my heart that's not pleasing to you?" God's going to speak to you. He's going to answer that prayer. "God, is there any part of my character that you want to change, that you want me to make me more like Jesus?" He's going to speak to you. God speaks to you. You have the ability to hear his voice. And he says here, "I will tell you great things." That's what he does. Listen, when it comes to prayer, you know how you learn how to pray? You know how I learn how to pray? You learn how to pray by praying. It's not that I'm going to give you... I gave you an acrostic last week. Maybe that helped, you know. DSA, declare God's goodness, surrender to his will, and then ask. You could also say it stands for don't start with asking. You know, I'm going to declare God's goodness and surrender to his will, and then ask him for these things. It's not that it's about an acrostic. It's not that it's about a formula. It's not that it's about this system. Listen, the last thing it needs to be is about a system. It's about a relationship. And the way that you learn to pray is by praying. And the way that I learn to pray is by praying. So, Matthew 11:28 says this. Now listen, this is one of the most beautiful scriptures in the whole book. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What's God saying? Are you tired? Are you anxious? Are you weak? Are you broken? Are you messed up? Then come to me. Now, I guarantee you, if you were to, like, throw a dinner party at your house, you know, you're having people over, you do that, we do that. If you're inviting people over, you're probably going to invite over some of your friends, you know. You're going to invite over some people that make you laugh. You're going to invite some people over that, you know, that you want to become better friends with, you know, when they leave, that you've really enjoyed it. Probably when you're making a party list and you're deciding 6, 8, whatever it is, people you're going to have over, You know, if you're going to go to the trouble of mowing your lawn and cleaning your house and fixing a meal, you're probably not going to go. Who's the most broken people I can invite to my house, you know? Who are the weakest people I can invite? Who are the people that are the most messed up that I can invite to my party? Because there's a selfish motive in it. You know, we're fixing dinner for other people and we're having people over, but it's because we want, you know, we want that friendship to be reciprocated. Nothing wrong with that. I read this statement this week. I don't know who posted it. It was a comment from a great Christian author or writer, but he said this. He said, "I'm so glad that I didn't get to design Jesus, because he wouldn't be anything like I would have designed him. He's nothing like I would have designed him. He's nothing like me. If I had the opportunity to design, he's the opposite, probably, of the way that I would have designed him. Thank God for that." Because Jesus says this: are you broken? Come. Are you weak? Come. Are you weary? Come to me. I want to hear everything that's going on in your life. Do you not have it together? Then come to me. Are you messed up? Is there a sin that has a stronghold in your life? Come to me. All you that are weary, all you that have a heavy burden on your life, you know what I'm going to give you? I'm just going to give you rest. I'm going to take that burden off of you. I'm going to relieve that anxiety. I'm going to take care of that worry. That's what I'm going to do. Jesus does that. There is no other religion in the world that says that. Every other religion is get yourself fixed up and then, you know, then come. If you work on these things, then come and join what we're a part of. Then you can approach this God. Then you can approach this prophet. There's no other religion in the world that says that. It's a stunning sentence, isn't it? He's not like me. He says, I want as many of you. And in fact, if you'll come to me, the most messed up of you, you get to go to the front of the line. That's what you get to do. That's what Jesus looks like. Is that not amazing? That's how much he wants to have a relationship with me and with you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this: don't be anxious about anything, but with everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Bring everything in prayer to him, he says this. I want to hear it all. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Isn't that amazing? Let us come to God in prayer with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When do you come to the Lord in prayer? You come to him when you don't have it together. That's when he wants to hear from you the most. And that's the thing that keeps us from praying, right? We think, oh my gosh, I've got this stuff that God's not pleased with. I've got to wait till I get myself better. And the whole time, Jesus is standing with his arms open wide saying, no, 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 no. See, this is the time you come to me. This is the most appropriate time that you come to me, when you're at your greatest need, when you're the most worried, when you can't figure it out, when you feel overwhelmed, when it's out of your control. When your kids aren't doing what you wanted them to do and the way that you raised them, and your parents are aging and there's nothing that you can do about it, and your job seems to be hanging on by a very thin thread, and you're in a financial hole and you're doing everything that you can do, and you feel like you're pushing a rock uphill and all it's doing is pushing you back downhill, come to me. Come to me. This is the time to come to me. Would you do that? That's what he's saying. Don't wait. Listen, the lie that you believe that you've got to get yourself together, listen, that's of the enemy. What I'm saying to you is come to me at your worst. That's what I want to see. I want to just share with you a few hurdles in our communication with God. Four things, very briefly. Here's some of the hurdles that stand in our way when it comes to our communication with God. As we take these scriptures and we look in broad strokes at our relationship with him, one of the things that keeps us from a relationship with God is that a misunderstanding of the gospel. What do I mean by that? A misunderstanding of the good news, meaning that I believe that God has saved me, but I do not believe that God is saving me. What do I mean by that? Just that, you know what, God saved me. I said yes to him, you know, when I was 6 or 16, where I was at church or with a friend or at a camp. And he saved me, but it's up to me now. You know, it's up to me to do right and to do good and to have it together and to move forward and to make this work. And you know what comes with that? Just a lifetime of guilt and shame. Because you can't do it. But you feel like you're supposed to. And a misunderstanding of the gospel is this, that He saved me from my sins in the past, but I'm responsible for my sins in the present. Here's the deal. We all have responsibility for our life, but when it comes to the salvation, when you said yes to Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, when He took your sins, He took your sins from the past. He took your sins from the present. And He is the hope in the future that forgives us of our sins. But because we feel like we need to work this out, it keeps us from a relationship with God. The judgment of your life is over. And when you come to God, you don't come to Him dirty. You don't come to Him as lacking. You come to Him as clean. You come to Him as clothed in Christ. That's who you are. Second thing is this. There's a tendency in our lives, one of the hurdles that keeps us from communicating with God, there's a tendency to think technically rather than relationally. What do I mean by that? It's when we begin to think about this relationship with God, I have to be here on Sunday morning, or I have to be in this place, or I have to be with these people, or I have to say these words. There's a system I have to go by. And God's like, okay, no. This is about a relationship that exists 24/7, 7 days a week, all the time, anywhere you are. Is it good for you to get alone and spend some focused time with me in the morning or in the evening? Yeah, that would be awesome. But you know what? I'm here with you all the time. All the time. And we kind of approach things of, okay, give me an outline, give me a system, give me an acrostic, and that's what will usher me into God's presence. No. It's when we sit down, it's when we're walking along the way and we're talking out loud to God. It's not like picking a lock. It's not like breaking into a safe. You know, you're listening for the tumblers. It's that technical. No, it's about a relationship. And the beautiful thing about that is there's no need for pretense. You know? I mean, if it's about relationship, there's no need. Do you ever feel that way when you're with people? I think we all do. That you put your best self out there when you're around certain people, you know, or most people. You know, you're going to put your best self out there. And then the worst parts of you, you're just going to kind of tuck behind a curtain, right? You're just going to kind of put it back here. That's the part of you that you don't want people to see. You know, you just don't want that to be out there in public. Because you want people to see the best about you. You want people to think good about you. It's what we all feel that way. When we have people over at our home, you know, we have people in our home a lot because we have a son in college. We have one in high school. We have one that just finished middle school. And they have friends that come through during the week, all three of them, almost every week. And so there's lots of traffic in our home. And my college son will have his friends over at all kinds of hours, and our high school son will have his friends over, typically on weekends. Our middle school son will have friends over like he's had for the past 2 weekends. So there's all kinds of people coming through, and usually, you know, we're trying to, you know, give it a lick and a promise and vacuum a rug here and clean the kitchen there and, you know, just cleaning the bathrooms. But occasionally, you know, you can't keep the house crystal clean all the time. I mean, you know, Penny and I occasionally would like to have a friend or two over if that ever fits into our kids' schedule. But when that happens, but you can't keep it that way all the time. So occasionally what do? We shut a door. You take everything and you cram it into the laundry room or you cram it into a bedroom and you shut that door, and it's almost like if you could lock it, you know, please don't open that door. You don't want any of your guests to open that door because everything's in there. The amazing thing about our relationship with God is He sees it all. He sees every room of our heart. He says every part. There is no pretense with Him. We don't have to pretend. And we can come to Him and say, God, I hate this about who I am. And He goes, I know. And I want to change. Okay. God, this is wicked. This is dark. I know. Let's talk about it. That's what God does. No pretense. It's all about relationship. It's not about a technicality. Third thing is this, the idea that God is sovereign. So why should I pray anyway? You know, it's the idea that God's in control of everything, and He's going to do everything that He wants to do. I mean, why should I pray? Am I going to change God's mind? I mean, God is all powerful and God's all knowing. That's what you said, Scott. And so God's going to do what God wants to do, and the way this thing is going to play out in the end. I mean, is there really any need for me to pray at all? And throughout the Scriptures, we see these examples where God is inviting us to pray. And as people pray, God is moving and acting based on their prayers. Isn't that amazing? That the God of the universe says, yes, yes, yes. And He tells us, please pray. You don't have because you don't ask. And that's what He says. And then He talks about this persistent widow. And He talks about prayer and how she came to the judge and she asked and she asked and she asked. He says, that's what I want you to do. Just, this is about relationship. And yes, I will move on your behalf. Listen, this is probably the differences in the way that we think about prayer sometimes are no more vivid than when we think about when people are sick. If you've ever been sick or you've had a close family member that are sick, people say lots of well-intentioned things sometimes. It's like how people respond during death. You know, sometimes people are well-intentioned, but what they're saying is way off theologically. Or biblically, or sometimes even common sense, you know? And so when I've seen this when people are sick, and there are people who will say, well, you know, if you have enough faith, God will heal you. If you just have enough faith, which is ridiculous, it's not biblical, because faith is so important. But if you're not healed, it doesn't mean you didn't have enough faith, right? Faith is important, but it's not all determined on how the quantity of your faith. And then there are other people who will, you know, it's like almost praying for this person is overwhelming. So we'll just, you know, we just need to pray for God's will. God, just your will be done. That's really the bottom line. God, we just pray your will be done. And the reality is there's a hint of truth in both of those things, but it's not the full truth. The full truth is this: I want you to pray. I want you to come to me. I want you to ask for sickness and disease to exit this body. And God, we beg you and we plead for you to touch this person, because the only person in the entire universe that can make this person whole is you. And we don't know what your will is, but you do, and we trust you with that. See, that's the truth. God says, come to me and plead and ask. And there are going to be times where I respond to your prayers. It could be about sickness. It could be about a million other things. But you know what? At the end of it, God, we do want your will to be done. And we do want you to give us bigger faith. But God, it's not just the fact that God's in control and I don't need to pray. He wants us to pray. Last thing is this. One of the things that's a hurdle in our relationship with God is this. It's just a feeling that I can't do it. I can't do it, and so I'm not going to pray about it. I can't change my kids. I've done the best I can do. I'm not praying about it. I'm done. I have given everything to this marriage. There's nothing else I can do. I'm not even praying about it. I'm done. I have invested in these relationships. When it comes to this job, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to this dating relationship, when it comes to this person I want to be in a dating relationship with, whatever it is, I'm just done. I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the insight. I don't have the gifts. So I'm just not going to pray about it. You know, and I see God. It's like God's in heaven. He goes, that's a great prayer right there. That right there. See, that's a great prayer. Because I cannot tell you how many times in my life this happens on a regular basis where I'm trying to figure it out myself. I'm trying to figure out the future for myself. I'm trying to solve this problem for myself. It could be work. It could be ministry. It could be family. It could be whatever it is. And I'm trying to figure it out to myself. And I get to the end of this very long road where for some reason I've not really depended on God for anything. You know, I've just thought that because I do know Him that I can figure it out. And I come to this end of this very long road, and in my frustration, in my exhaustion, I will say, God, I just cannot do this. I can't do this. And it is almost like the words were in the back of your heart and the back of your mind the whole time. They just never came to the front until right now. And you say, God, I cannot do this, and he reminds you. And the words come out, and you think, oh, I wish I'd have started there 3 months ago. God, I cannot do this, but you can. But you can. I'm going to take all this, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you with it. I've been carrying it. I've been working on it. I've been trying to figure it out. I give it to you. Let me encourage you with this. The way we learn to pray is by praying. The way we learn to pray is by just stepping out in communication with our Heavenly Father. Would you do this? Would you just stand up right now? I want to ask you to do this. This is going to be our response to the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Some of you just got really scared. I mean, you're thinking I'm going to ask you to do something bad. I want to ask you to close your eyes. And this may be different for you, but just put your hands out, palms up. Nobody's looking at you. I'm not looking at you. You got your hands out, palms up. I just want you to think about the thing that probably is at the forefront of your heart, the forefront of your mind, and talk to God about that for just a few seconds. God, I need your help with this. God, this is the thing that's overwhelming. This is the thing that I've been trying to do on my own. This is the thing I've been carrying. This is the thing, God, I don't have an answer for. Would you just talk to God for just a minute? That thing that's in your hands, would you just talk to God about that just for a second? Now, if you would just say these words, not out loud, just to yourself. God, I can't solve this, but you can. And then just turn your hands over. Just turn your hands over. God, I give it to you. It's yours. I trust you with it. Father, I thank you that you have heard every prayer uttered in this place. You know every part about every life that's here. You know every angle to our heart, to our mind, to our relationships, our worries, our sin, our anxiety. God, you know everything about us. You know our strengths and our weaknesses. You know how selfish we are. You know how we take other people for granted. God, would you change us? We cannot change ourselves. We cannot change other people. We can't change the future, but you can. And we trust you with that. We turn that over to you. And I thank you for being a God big enough to handle all that and more. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Man, I'm delighted that you were here today. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. We're getting ready to take up our offering, and our band's going to play for us, and then you'll be dismissed. And so we're just so glad that you're here. And just kind of an update, I said this last week, but I know some of you are here today that maybe were not here last week, is that we are in the middle of negotiating for a new space for us. We have been nomadic for the last 6.5 years, and so we're very close to making something official with a space that we've talked to you about. It's located in Halls. It's where the One Life Halls campus is. And so we're going to be assuming that lease, and we're just kind of in the process of working out the legal wording of that sublease document. And so once that's done, it's going to be final, and we'll be preparing to make a transition there. So we are very, very excited about having our first 7-day-a-week home for ministry, and we'll be giving you more details about that. So I'm very excited about that. Thank you for all the ways that you support what goes on here as we believe that God has placed us here in this community for a purpose. We believe that our community is our responsibility spiritually, that the people who live here, there are lost people all around us. Probably, I think, in about a 5-mile radius of where we're located, there's about 100,000 people on any given Sunday, about 15% of those folks are in church. So there's a lot of unchurched folks, and there are a lot of people who don't know the Lord. And so we feel like that this community is where God's called us to be a bright light. When we're at the ballpark, and when we're at the gym, and when we're in the school, and when we're hanging out at the pool this summer, that God has given us an opportunity to build relationships with people that need to know God, that need a church family. And so we are just grateful that God has called us to do that. And we thank you for the ways that you make that happen here through your support of ministries that go on. So if you would bow your head, I'm going to lead us in prayer as we take up our offering. God, thank you that every good gift comes from you. You are good. Your goodness is cannot be exhausted. It is endless. And you are good toward us in more ways than we can ever list. And so we thank you for the way that you bless us with stuff and the way you bless us with things. And this is our opportunity to give back to you. And we ask that you would bless it in a way that people would be ushered into your kingdom, that people would hear the good news and the truth about who you are. God, please make us a people that have no guile. The scripture says that there was no guile found in Jesus. Help us to be people that believe the best about people and that believe the best about you. Help us to be people that are innocent as doves and yet shrewd. That we understand the world, but we enter into it, God, with a message of hope. That we know what it is to be opposed, and we know what it is to be cynical, and we know what it is to experience resistance, but that we embrace people with love and the message of the good news of Jesus. God, help us to believe that there is a bright light that resides within us, and there are people who really need to know you. And we pray, God, that our message would not be about the Grove, but that it would be about Jesus. That you would be first on our lips, and that people would be drawn to you and changed by you, and that we would continue to point to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You get